Now I'm going to ask you a question. It's going to be really hard for some of you, but how many of you believe that God loves the people you work with? Okay, here's even a harder one because I know some of the people you work with. How many of you believe God wants the people you work with to end up in heaven? He does. Well, if say you're a school teacher, what's the best way to reach another teacher? Through a preacher? No. Through another what? Teacher. That's your mission field.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. When you hear the word missionary, you may come up with pictures of some guy running through the jungle with a safari hat trying to reach the headhunters in some remote part of the earth. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that we have been called to be missionaries right where we are. Our mission field is as close as the place where we work. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Honoring God at Work.
I remember the time quite clearly when a couple of years before Anna and I left Oregon to moved back home to Hawaii, and I'd been in the ministry for a while in Youth for Christ, and I was actually doing some spring cleaning, and my job was outside, Anna's was on the inside, so I noticed that there's a lot of just grass that needed to be taken care of. So I went down to the local Sears store and wanted to buy a weed whacker. We call it here in Hawaii weed whacker. Over there it's weed eater. Over here, whack them. I don't care if you eat them or whack them. Get them out. But I went down there. I said, do you have a weed eater for sale? And he said, oh, you're just at the right time, sir. We had one at $119.95 today. It's only $89.95. And not only that, he brought it out. He said, it's a hard shell case. It will not break. It's unbreakable. And it's electric. So it's no noise, no fumes. How's that? It won't stink up your house. That was good news because I wasn't planning to use it in my house anyway. But he said, no fumes to mess up your house. And we give you extra cord. And for another $49.95, you can get a 5-year extended warranty on this. Well, it so impressed me, I bought the thing and the 5-year extra warranty. I brought it home and my wife said, what do you got in that box? And I took it out and I said, look at this thing. Hard shell case, unbreakable. This thing is electric, it's quiet. She said, oh, you are such a smart husband. I said, absolutely. And so I took it outside, plugged it in, and when you turn it on, it doesn't make noise. Yeah, she said, woo, woo. I thought, what is this? Cool. Woo, woo. She's walking around. So I went by the fence and started. Woo, 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 woo. The only problem was I looked back and it wasn't cutting any grass. So I go back to it. And that thing was whacking the grass, but the grass was just going like this. You know, I thought, what is going on? So when I piled about, oh, this much grass, I looked back, it looked like a bad haircut day, you know? So I started, true story, I started pulling grass out. I was, God. I thought, what is happening? Thing doesn't cut grass. So I went back to the place. I said, hey, excuse me, sir, you know that one I bought? He said, oh, yes, on sale, $89.95. You got a great price. I said, yeah, but it doesn't cut grass. He said, oh, yeah, but it comes with a hard shell case. The thing is unbreakable. I said, yeah, that's good. And he said, it's electric, so it doesn't make any noise. I said, yeah, it's really quiet. No fumes, right? No fumes. But it don't cut my grass. He said, and you got a 5-year extended warranty on it. In fact, if anything breaks, we guarantee to fix it. I said, but does it guarantee that it'll cut grass? I mean, it don't cut grass. He said, oh, you got a great deal on it. I said, am I on candid camera or something? This thing don't cut grass. And then he said something. I think back on it now and I laugh. But at that time, you know, he said, did you try cutting it like when the grass is wet? Because then it'll cut easier. I said, what? Like after the rain or something and then cut? Well, I'm Portuguese, so I said, okay, I'll try it. I went home, I watered the grass. I tried to cut. But I still never cut. Now it was just wet grass going blah, 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 blah. So I hung this thing up in the garage. 2 years the bugger stayed there. Cause it don't cut grass. So when Anna and I were moving here to Hawaii, I had a garage sale. I put the thing up for $50. say, you know, and this guy came and looked at it. And he goes, wow, this thing looks brand new. I said, yeah, I take good care of it. Yeah. He said, how is it? I said, hard shell case, man. But you know, sometimes I wonder if we live that way before God. I mean, we look right, we talk right, we do everything except maybe what He assigned for us to do in our lifetime from eternity's beginning. I mean, we live, we work, we raise kids, but maybe we forget what He actually put us here on earth to do. Because when you look at successful people who have made the most out of their life, you'll often find one common denominator throughout the group, and that's each of them has a defined reason, clearly defined reason, a purpose, a cause, a direction for why they exist. There's a clearly defined direction and directive in their life. And it bleeds into everything that they do. Not just at church where they honor God, but there's an honoring of God in every arena of their life, at work, at play. And it gives a balance to their life. In fact, we call it gives a rhythm to life. And today we want to talk about one of these areas that often we miss, but it's talking about how to honor God at our work. And we're going to take it out of one scripture, out of Matthew 5:16. It embodies everything we want to talk about this morning. So let's read it together at the top of our notes. Ready? Go. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You'll notice here it says, let your light shine before men in what? In such a way. Did you know that you can live in such a way that it honors God? That's right. Every single one of us can honor God if we'll take to heart the principles found right here in Matthew 5:16. Well, you say, well, how do I honor God? Well, the first is, as we've been talking about, we honor God by understanding our mission in life. Would you write that in? I honor God by understanding my mission. Did you know that if you've received Christ as your Lord and you've become a Christian, you are a missionary? That's right. Now, most of the times, the first thing that comes to our mind when we say the word missionary is what? Like cannibals, you know, or eating monkey stew or eating potato bugs or something. But every single one of us is a missionary because God has sent us here on the spinning globe for just but a moment. And we have a purpose, a clearly defined purpose that's much greater than just surviving and existing and accumulating for ourselves stuff. And then it's going to burn up and then we're gone. There's a mission much greater than that. You say, but isn't our whole work, our job, you know, just to make money and stuff? Nah. Listen, don't make the only goal of your life accumulating possessions or earning more money. Listen, that's not a worthy enough goal for the investment of your life. It's not a worthy enough goal for the investment of your soul. You must be someone who lives for a much greater purpose than yourself. And we must choose to honor God, because you're going to honor someone. You're going to honor yourself, and you're going to bow down before a full-length mirror every morning, or you're going to honor God. And there's a crossroad at life where we choose what we're going to do. Are we going to live for our purposes and have God kind of help us? Or are we going to divest ourselves of that and say, Lord, we want to live for your purpose and honor you? That's my mission. Robert Frost is one of my favorite poets, and he writes in one of his earlier poems, The Road Not Taken. And he talks about crossroads we come to, and there's this one phrase that says, I shall be saying this somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And he wasn't talking just about a crossroad in a forest. He's talking about the crossroads in our lives. Which road are we going to take? And so one of the things that honors God is when we say, Lord, we'll take your road, because we're going to understand the mission. Because all of us are missionaries. So, well, wait a minute, I'm not a missionary. That's right. Where you work is a part of your mission field. If you're a college student, that's your mission field for this season of your life. Wherever God places you, that's your mission field. So, well, I'm not a missionary. I don't get paid by the church. No, well, we all get paid from the same place. No. I'm a teacher. I get paid by the state. Or I'm a construction worker. I get paid by my company. You might get paid through your company or through the state, but you derive your income from the same place I derive mine from, God. Well, how do you figure that? Well, let's take your income. If you're a teacher, just like following stereo wires, they're all tangled up in the corner of your living room, and you want to find not the source of that sound, but you want to find where that sound is derived from, the source of that. So you go through, and just like a teacher, my income, oh yeah, there it is, at the school. No, don't stop there, it keeps going. It comes through the school, but keep going. Oh, there's a tax base where the money comes, keeps going. Oh, that certain person's income through which the tax is paid. Yep, keep going. And you know, if you keep following it long enough, guess where it'll end up? Right up at the, びっくり しました. Come, throne of God. That's where. Very good, grasshopper. It goes to the throne of God. Same with a construction worker. You go all the way through, you come to the construction company. That's where. No, it's not derived there. It comes through that. Oh, the person that paid for the construction, but keep going. Where do you get his income? And you, same, ne. Yeah. Everybody, mine as well. It goes all of us ultimately get paid, and our employer is whom? It's God. Yeah. Well, why then does God run my salary through the school and places me there? Because that's your mission field. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's going to be really hard for some of you, but because I know you work with some people that are pretty tough to work with. But how many of you believe that God loves the people you work with? Yeah. Okay, here's even a harder one, because I know some of the people you work with. How many of you believe God wants the people you work with to end up in heaven? He does. He really loves them, and he has made a mansion for them in heaven. Well, if, say, you're a school teacher, what's the best way to reach another teacher? Through a preacher? No. Through another what? Teacher. Well, I'm not a theologian. I just can't walk into my classroom to another teacher and start, I'm not this attorney for God. How do you do that? Very easy. God does not want you to be an arguer. You know what he wants you to be? Let's read right underneath it. Acts 1:8. Ready? Go. Jesus said, "And you shall be my witnesses even unto the ends of the earth." That's what he wants us to be. Not an arguer, not a persuader, a theologian. No, my witness. Well, what's a witness? Well, when a witness takes a stand, he just simply gives personal evidence, personal experience. This is what I saw, the accident or whatever. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what I experienced. That's it. Did you know that that is the most powerful thing, that if you know anything about court systems, cases are won or lost, not by the slickness of an attorney, but by the credibility of whom? Witnesses. Nobody can refute witnesses because of what they've seen and heard, experienced. And when you just simply give your witness, nobody can refute, it's irrefutable, because you're saying, I'm a witness because I'm going to share with you what God has done in what? My life. Would you write that in the bullet? A witness is simply sharing what God has done in my life. That's what God did with me. Let's read the scripture right beneath it in 1 John. Ready? Go. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, we bear and... Would you underline those two words? Bear witness and proclaim to you. Acts 4:20, which even began the early church, says this: for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Did you know that that started revival? That started the early church. Witnesses. just to share what you have seen and heard. Why do you do that? Because you know that you have a mission in life. And you'll honor God at work when you have this overriding mission. No, it's not just to accumulate stuff. God will provide for me, but there's a greater mission. Well, how do we do that? How do we build a platform for this kind of message so that people can hear? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your what? Good works." Would you write number two, "I honor God through the quality of my work or my ministry"? Did you know that your work is your ministry? That's right. God has given to you a ministry where you work. You see, God is not honored by shoddy workmanship. He doesn't give a medal to mediocrity. God is honored when we do our work well. That's my ministry. If you're a student, you know what your ministry is for this season? Here it is. Do well in your work. God wants you to be the best student you can be. That honors God. It doesn't honor God when I fail everything because I don't want to study and I'm lazy and I want more leisure than I want labor. No, it honors God when I'm a diligent student and punctual and I do my best to schedule my time out correctly. Listen, if you repair cars, be the best car repairman you can be. If you're a nurse, be the best nurse you can be. If you're a salesman, be the best. If you're a cook, cook the best thing you can and bring it to my house so I can inspect. But it's more than just repairing cars. It's everything about you. Your ministry is not just your work, but it's everything about your work. It's the attitude that you take to work. It's the people skills that you use. It's the grace with which you treat coworkers when there's a problem to be solved rather than blaming. It's what happens in the lunchroom. All of those things is your ministry. See, it's not you just producing something. It's the heart with which you do what you do at work. So it's not honoring God just in your work. It's at your work. And God, that's your ministry. You're building the platform upon which you speak. Why is that so important? Because just that, we must earn the right to be heard. If we are sloppy, if you're sloppy, and then you try to tell people what to do, if you're sloppy and you try to give counsel, they're going to look at you like, who do you think you are? You see, we're building our platform because we carry in our hearts a message. Let me read to you a short story. A thing called The Builder. It's about a carpenter and his contractor employer. It goes like this. There was once a carpenter that was ready to retire. So he informed his employer, who was the contractor, of his plans to leave the building business to live a more leisurely life. Well, the contractor was sorry to see his worker go, since his worker had been with him for many years. But he asked the carpenter if he would do just one more personal favor for him. "Would you build me one more house?" he said. The carpenter said, "Well, okay." But it was in a short time, it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship as he built this house. And then feeling that he was never really paid enough, he began to use inferior materials and charge for better materials. It was an unfortunate end to his career. But when the carpenter finally finished the house, the contractor came to inspect the house. And when he did, he handed the carpenter who had built the house the keys to the front door. And he said, "This is my gift to you. This is your house." What a shock. If he had only known that he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. But now he had to live in the home he had built so poorly. And so it is with us. We build our lives one day at a time, and with a shock, we look at the situation we've created and find that we are now living in the very house we have created. You see, that's your ministry. With every word I use, it's like another nail. And I build walls in our home. by the way I treat people and respond to others. Everything I do, I'm building a platform upon which my life will rest. It's called your testimony. And that's why God is very, very concerned about the quality of our work, the way that we do what we do, everything about us in this season of your life. Honor God, because you're living for a purpose much greater than yourself. Well, some come to me and say, well, Wayne, they don't pay me what I'm worth. That's why. That's why I am like I am. Well, if the truth were known, if a lot of us were paid what we're worth, we would starve to death. Well, you say, well, how do I get more money? Well, let me give you a secret. Pretty easy. Here it is. If you're, just say, for example, say you're making $40,000 a year, $30,000, $20,000, whatever it is, and you want to make $80,000. Let's just say that. You want to make $80,000, but you're making whatever it is. Here it is. Figure out how an $80,000 a year person is, or $100,000 or $200,000, whatever it might be. Figure out how that person is and then become that now. What kind of attitude would that person have if he's a CEO or an owner of a large business? How would he dress? How would he solve problems? How would he deal with people? How is it that he was able to build something that large? What kind of character would that person have? Become that. Become that. And so when a problem comes to you, don't say, well, I don't know. Tell the boss. That's his problem. And so you send a person to an $80,000 a year person to solve. That's why he's paid $80,000 and you got minimum wage. Instead, think. Work it through. You say, well, I don't know how to solve those kinds of problems. Then learn. Learn what it takes to do that. Ask. Get mentored. Read books. Develop yourself. That's the only, otherwise it won't be more than a wish, a pipe dream. And when you're in the employee lounge, how does an $80,000 or $100,000 person, when he walks in, how does he gossip and gripe? You know, what people above me cannot handle. No. What kind, you see, if you just sit around and gripe and gossip about your supervisors, that's not how a person of that rating would act. I mean, you can, if you want to, just gripe about people. Just gripe, complain, gossip, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the wonderful benefits of minimum wage. You can do that. Oh, it's a great benefit. You can just gripe about anybody, but that's all you're going to get is minimum wage. Sometimes you say, well, when they pay me more, then I'll act different. No, you got to act different, then you'll get paid more. Because it's God who you are serving, not man. And he's watching the maturity and the depth of your heart. Let's read this scripture right under that number two. Ready? Go. Whatever you do, work at it with all your, not just hand, but your heart. Let's continue. As working for the Lord, not for men. Why? It is the Lord Christ. It's the Lord Christ that you're serving. You say, but Wayne, my job is so boring. You know what? Even a boring job can become challenging if you focus on quality. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Because it's the quality of your work that'll sooner or later be exposed. Let's read it. The last verse there under two, go. The quality of each man's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. You see, sooner or later it's going to be exposed. But you say, Wayne, I tell you, you don't know the people I work with. They're dead heads, man. They are bad news bears. And everything I try to do, it gets thrown back at me. Well, I found this out of the Reader's Digest, and I read it often just for me. And today I'd like to read it for all of us. It's called Anyway. It says this. People will be unreasonable and illogical, self-centered, but love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish and ulterior motives, but do good anyway. If you're successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies, but succeed anyway. Honesty and kindness may make you vulnerable to be taken advantage of, but be honest and kind anyway. The good you do today may very well be forgotten tomorrow. But do good anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can get shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. But think big anyway. Give the world the best you've got. You may very well get kicked in the teeth for it, but give the world the best you got anyway.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.